All right. Come on, brother Keith. Good to have you, brother. And we got you a bottle of water right here. And if you need it, there it is. If you don't need it, that's all right. Sometimes I take a drink, sometimes I don't. But I'll tell you right now, when you don't have one, it's when you want it. When you do have it, it seems like you don't really want it. But I appreciate Brother Keith. And good to have you, brother. My elder brother here. If you want to put that on your tie, it's no, ready to go. You want to just sit down? Just up there, okay? You can do that right there, brother. It works either way. That thing records so good, it'll record even back in the back room. Amen.
I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to be in your presence. And each time I come this way, it seems like I get fed myself. And that's what this thing is all about. I was thinking as I was listening to you all sing this morning, I believe it says in the Bible, for let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we need to always do that.
Yeah.
You know, I made a change in the month of November of 1965. And before that year was finished, I made a change. Let me back up. I made a change the 25th of April of that year. And then I announced my calling to preach in the month of November of that year.
Yeah, man.
And sometimes it's a frightful thing to stop and to look back and to see the changes that has taken place in that short a period of time. In that particular time, I joined a church there in Louisville, over in Highland Park. And those people was having somewhere upwards of 100 to 100, and I guess 35 or 40 on Sunday mornings. And today they're lucky if they can get 25.
Yeah, you're following orders.
And that particular day and time, they would have revivals, and we would see upwards of 15 to 20 or more people saved, pray through, and today it's changed.
Yeah.
It hasn't, it's not the Lord's fault, but it's people's fault. St. Paul said in the last days there would be a falling away.
Right.
I don't want to come this way and sound so negative this morning, but it's the truth.
Right.
And it's something that we just have to work with. You know, when I made a change, I dearly love gospel singing. It's been a great help to me in my Christian life.
Amen.
I remember my wife was from this area over here near the Dare and Russell County line on 76. And the people here at Columbia would have a gospel singing on Sunday morning, Wooten's department store, and they will forget it. And they would have 1 hour of the Chuck Wagon Gang.
Yeah, man.
I always thought I never heard a group that could sing the song,
hey, man.
Shall We Gather at the River like them people.
Yeah.
And I said at that time, if I ever become a Christian and get saved, I want to go see them people. And at that time, there was a couple of brothers in Jefferson County, the Moody's, would put on those singings and have those gospel song singers from down south. And the Chuck Wagon Gang come there in Louisville and sung at the Brown Theater there in the Brown Hotel. And I never will forget what a blessing it was for me to hear those people. They were singing songs like Echoes from the Burning Bush and I'll Fly Away.
Amen.
And I had a little small electric record player, I don't know, maybe 15 inches square or something like that, maybe not that large. And I had bought some long play albums, and I told El May, I said, I want a good record player. Went up there to a place where that I had bought tires and things for my cars. Fellow named Marvin Bond. And he had, on that day of time, what we would call a hi-fi. Well, I had just got saved. And I didn't know how people receive things like that, you know. And I went up there and I said, now, I don't want to hear nothing of an old orchestra or something like that. I want to hear one of my records. He said, well, let's have it. So I worked for him and I put that Chuck Wagon Gang thing down there. Just plain old singing. And turned that thing real high. I'll Fly Away. You can't believe what happened there in just 2 or 3 minutes. That busy store come to a halt quickly. Men out of the service department back there in the back working on cars quit their work, come up there, and I looked and they were standing all around that hi-fi.
Yeah.
3 or 4 of them said, who is that doing that singing? And I thought about that difference of times. You know, there's a difference in make-believe and the real thing.
You're right.
There's a lot of difference in a lot of this make-believe stuff we see today and the real thing. I like to hear a man preach that God has called
him.
That's right.
I like to hear a man stand and preach that's been anointed with the Holy Spirit and the power.
Amen.
You know, one of my close friends passed away in 1970, fine minister. And he told me, he said, you know, when me and my wife Amy was going together and we was courting, he said, I felt like maybe the Lord was calling me to preach. And he said that they was just an old haul road around the house where we lived on the farm. And he said there hadn't been nobody traveling that road, but he said, you know, he said there's wild grapevines had just covered the top of it. He said it was just a perfect place to be by yourself, you and the Lord. And he said he'd go down there and he wanted to get no relief. And he said he'd go to church and people would be shouting all over that place. And he said, man, I would like I was holding a block of ice under my arm.
Amen.
Wasn't getting a thing out of it.
Amen.
He said, finally, the revival was going on at Mount Zion. That's a little place over here in LaRue County called Magnolia. And he said, you know, he said, I got down there and revival was doing good, but he said, I wasn't getting a thing out of it.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he told the Lord, he said, Lord, I don't want to make a fool out of myself. And if it's you that's actually calling me to preach.
Yeah, make it sure.
He said, let somebody during this revival walk up to me and tell me something about me preaching. He said, him and Mamie walked up that road that night, and he said, we walked up on the church ground. Hot weather, people everywhere, all over that place. He said, an old woman, I think he said she was 86 years old, that had belonged to that church all of her life, had grandchildren in there. And she walked up and she said, Wheeler, when I was praying today, said, the Lord told me you're supposed to preach.
Amen.
He said, I thought I was going to hit the ground in spite of everything before I could move.
Amen.
He said, man, I was scared from that point on not to acknowledge that I'd been called to preach.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let me say this to you. The Spirit of the Lord is different to this world.
You're right, brother.
When the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you, you will know it's the Lord.
That's right.
And you won't doubt it in the very least.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm here to say this to you this morning that I put in, I forgot, 4 or 5 services in a revival to get me satisfied. You know, there was a woman years ago by the name of Martha Carlson wrote a song called Satisfied.
Yeah.
And I've thought about that many, many different of times. And I'm here to say this to you this morning, that I wanted the real thing. I didn't want something that would get me into the church and get me by the family and get people to quit bothering me and aggravating me when I went to church. And you know, I've got under old time conviction.
Amen.
Now, if you're here this morning and you're expecting the Lord just to literally shake you out of your seat and tell you to come to this altar, it probably ain't going to happen. I had a woman to tell me one time at my place of work. She said that I was having the awfulest time on that. I couldn't enjoy nothing in church. And she said I was bashful and backwards. And she said I was afraid somebody would talk to me. But she said I just didn't know what the problem was. But she said when I finally decided to make the move, she said the Lord saved me before I got to the altar.
Oh, yeah.
Said I was walking up that aisle and said the Lord lifted the burden and saved me.
Amen.
And I've never doubted it since.
Amen.
Sometimes pride is what causes people to fail to come to the Lord. I'm here to say this to you this morning that I love the Annals. They've been much to me and they've been a tremendous help to me and to my late wife. I've been having some difficulties with vision, but I've had cataract surgery and I finally made it through there. But I want this morning, if you will, and I believe you all are Bible reading people, turn to the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis in the very first part of the Bible. And I want to read to you a story. Now, children, let me say this to you. We all know that a man come to the Lord in the 3rd chapter of St. John and asked of him about going to heaven and what he had to do. That fellow's name was Nicodemus. We all know about him. And that fellow was told by our Lord that a person had to be born again. Now, get to that chapter, 32nd chapter of Genesis. Children, I don't know how to preach anything else but the Bible, so get the Bible open. And we're going to talk to you about a fellow by the name of Jacob. Now, during this situation, Brother Wade, the Lord even sent the power to him to tell him that his name had been changed.
Right.
And this fellow, Jacob, if you stop and think about this for just a moment, you wouldn't wanted your son to have been the kind of a person Jacob was in his early days. He was a rascal. And he didn't care what he'd done, and he'd steal or whatever it was. But Jacob had an experience that turned him around.
Amen.
And I want you to listen to this. You might say to me, preacher, I wonder what I would feel like if I become a Christian. Well, for one thing, he would give you a different mind to think with.
Right.
For one thing, he would turn a light on you and show you just exactly what you are.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
He'd take away a lot of these false ideas you've got.
That's right.
And he'll show you just exactly what you are and what you've done.
Amen.
Now you might think, how much does the Lord know about me? The Bible says he knows your thoughts afar off. Well, the Lord knows what you're thinking about if you sit here in church this morning.
Amen.
I don't care what you've done in your life, the Lord knows all about it. You might have it hid from your wife or your husband or your family or that. But I want to tell you something. You can't hide nothing from him. I know. I drove about 600 miles one Saturday night to pay back 60 cents. But after I got the made the drive and paid the money back, I didn't have no trouble praying.
Amen.
See, you can't worship the Lord if you've got sin in your life.
No, that's right.
If you've got anything in your life that's displeasing to the Lord, I want to say this to you. If you can't love your neighbor or your somebody here on this earth, there's one thing for sure, you and them are not going to heaven. One to the other, you ain't going.
Right.
And I'll tell you, I've thought about what a fellow said one time there at the Louisville Church. I belonged to that church a number of years. He said they was a fella over in Taylor County. And he said, just the sight of that man would ruin my day. He said, I despise that man. He said, I just didn't like him. I didn't care for him. And he said, the night I was under old time heartfelt conviction, and I prayed to the Lord there that night in that old church down on that creek. When I prayed through and the Lord told me I saved, I looked up and opened my eyes, and he said, there that feller was. And he said, I thought he was one of the finest looking fellers I'd ever seen.
Amen.
And he said, I loved him to death the
right.
rest of his days.
That's right.
What happens to you when you get saved.
That's true.
When the Lord comes into your life, he'll give you a different outlook on life. Now, you may be sitting here this morning saying, preacher, I'll never do it. Jesus said, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God.
Right.
You're going to confess it somewhere.
Right.
And you might as well do it today.
Remember,
because, you know, the thing about it is, honey, you may not have another opportunity.
That's right.
There was a woman last week was on I-64 there. Her and two or three other people. That woman was expecting a little baby in the next month or so. You may have saw it or heard it on the radio or TV. That woman was killed and went right out into eternity.
Right.
And all of this. I'm here to say this to you. We're here this morning, people. We don't have no promise that we'll even get back home today. And I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. They ain't a thing between me and the Lord. I'm looking forward to seeing my precious wife. She's done gone to the other side. I'm looking forward to that. The most difficult thing I've ever had to contend with in my life. But I know when I realize one of these days I'm going to see her again.
Amen.
I'm going to see her again. I have two girls and I have a family. I love them, but none of them takes her place.
Bless you.
There's something different there.
Right.
Now, I might have to have this preacher read for me. I don't know, but this 24th verse, let me see if I can get my eyes clear till I can see. Now, Brother Eddie, that man had 12 sons by four different women, didn't he?
Right.
And you know what? This fella here's mama and daddy had never met till she was a riding a camel Margaret, riding a camel. And he saw her coming. His daddy had sent some to get his wife. And the Bible said when she saw him coming, she slid off of that camel and run and hugged him and grabbed him. Now that's the only place in the Word of God that it says anything about a man and a woman kissing and embracing. That's what happened when Isaac and Rebecca met.
Right.
Now, this woman, Brother Wade, was blessed with this thing here. She was the very first person in the Word of God that had twins.
Right. Two nations.
And did you know that Brother Abel, that woman had the awfulest time with that pregnancy? I mean to tell you, you talk about morning sickness, you talk about rough this and rough that. That woman had a hard time of it.
Yeah.
And she asked of the Lord these words. She said, "Why am I having such a hard time?" Told her, he said, "Rebecca, you've got two nations in your womb." And said, "They'll never get along. Them two boys stiff when they was in their mother's womb. And when one of them was being born, that was old Jacob here, he grabbed Esau's heel, didn't he, Brother Wade?"
Right.
"Yes, sir. One of them was a hairy fella, and the other one was a different. Now, their mother sort of favored this one here, Jacob. And she feared because he had stole his brother's birthright." Now, that was very important, the birthright. There was a lot of things went with that that we don't know of today. But she thought that oldest one was going to kill him because she stole his birthright. I'll hurry and get through this in a minute. But she said, "Brother, wait," she said, "get out of here and go to see my brother Laban." And he fled from him. That night he stopped at a place called Bethel. And the Bible says that he dreamed all night and he had his head on the rock, didn't he?
That's right.
And he watched angels running up and down that ladder all night long. And you know the Bible says that when he awoke the next morning, surely this must be the house of God.
Amen.
And he made a promise there that God's Christian people follow to this day. He says, "I'll give 10% out of my living." A lot of people say, "Where does this tithing thing come from?" My God, read the Bible. That's where it's from. 10 cents out of every dollar you make belongs to the Lord, whether you acknowledge it or not.
Amen.
And you'll never prosper one iota bit until you start paying the Lord what you owe him.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this Bible says, as we go into it, I'll hurry, Brother Wade.
You're
He said, "Son, you work 7 years and you can have my daughter." Oh, he done had him one picked out. Of course, he took the pretty one. But you know, when he worked the 7 years, when he got to the end of it, he said, "Now I want my woman, Rachel." No. He said, "You're going to have to take Leah." Said, "She's the firstborn." She was ugly, I guess. But anyway, the Bible says that he said, "I'll work another 7 years, and I'll get Rachel." Well, that old boy worked 14 years for the two women. All you women here this morning, do you think your husband will work 7 years for you? I bless my, a lot of people that. But you know, that husband or that father-in-law of his, he was a shyster. The Bible said he told him, he said, "You know," he said, "but there's two wives and these children and all this. You're going to have something to sustain them." And I said, I'll tell you what. He said, everything that's born here for the next, I believe it's 6 years, that's spotted and ring-tailed and cattle will be yours. Well, that old man was trying to throw it to that young boy. But God got involved in it, didn't he? And the Bible says that he told him, he said, put in the water holes poplar and chestnut poles and peel the bark off of them here and there.
Yeah.
And you know what? Children, in the next 6 years, he just about put that old man out of the cattle business.
Right.
I mean, everything was born there was that.
That's right.
The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'll tell you what, I'd rather have God in my corner than all the people I've ever laid my eyes on. Because he rules the things and he runs it. But you know, when all of this took place, he had a father-in-law that wasn't exactly happy with him.
Right.
And the Bible says that when the old man was out of the house or wherever he was, it says that Jacob got all of his wives and the handmaids and all of them, and they took off. Now you picture this before I get into this. This old boy had a mad father-in-law behind him,
right,
and a mad brother in front of him.
Right.
Now you talk about a between a rock and a hard place, that's it.
Yeah.
And that's what took place here that we're about to read. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Now that angel's asking him, let me go. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou doest ask after my name? And he blessed him there. I love that. And he blessed him there.
Amen.
And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.
Amen.
And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him and halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which retract, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day. Because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank.
Amen.
Let me say this to us this morning, children. And I'm speaking to you that doesn't know the Lord this morning. I've never, ever known of the Lord saving anybody the way they want to be saved.
Amen.
I've never known of the Lord doing these things. But what the Lord will do for you and save you and set you free, he'll give you just exactly what you need.
You're right.
The Lord knows you this morning.
Amen.
I'm here to say this to you today. The Lord knows your strength.
Right.
And he knows your weaknesses.
You're right.
I don't care if you're a Christian this morning. The Lord knows how much you can stand.
You're
do you
right.
believe that?
Right.
Yes, sir. I'm here to say this to you. You couldn't live a Christian life from now till the sun went down unless the Lord was with you.
Amen.
I'm here to say this to you this very morning, children. You couldn't hide nothing from the Lord if you wanted to. Lord, I didn't know the Lord had kept a record on me like he had.
Oh, yes.
My Lord, when I got under conviction, and that conviction began to break away that old false picture I had of myself, and I began to see myself for what I really was.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's called conviction.
Yeah, man.
And I want you to know this one thing, sinner. The Lord will let you sit right there in your seat until death closes your eyes and you go into eternity. He'll never make you ever come to this altar. It's up to you.
Amen.
That's just exactly like a person starving to death and be within a few feet of a table covered with wonderful food and you starving to death.
Yeah.
It'll never help you one bit until you make the move.
Amen.
I'm here to say this to you. When I was on an altar, I put in about four or five services, and an old man come to me. I'm 77, and he was 2 years younger than I was then. And he said to me then, he said, young man, he said, I'm 75, and I've never had the Lord to do nothing my way yet. You know, I had it in my mind, unless you shouted like my grandmother on my mother's side, and grandmother on my daddy's side, you just didn't have it. I thought you had to shout. I come to realize, sinner, that all in the world you need is what the Lord gives you.
Amen.
I've seen people that would come to an altar and pray to the Lord and have one of the prettiest smiles on their face and never say a word.
Amen.
I've seen people that would shout all over the place, but they didn't have one bit more of religion than that person that never made a move or never said nothing.
Amen. You're right.
I remember one time, sinner, whenever I was on an altar, and Lord, I was miserable. I didn't actually eat for 3 or 4 days. Lord have mercy, what a shape I was in.
Amen.
And I thought of this old man that lived beside of me at 828 South 2nd Street in Louisville. That old man was the kind that would come into a church and he would sit over here in the corner and never say one word. Never make a move. And you know, after I was on that altar a few services, I said I'd like to have Ed Kells to come and pray for me.
Amen.
That was that old man. He come and he got down beside of me and he said, what do you want? I said, I want you to pray for me. He said, I've done my praying for you. It's time for you to pray for yourself.
Amen.
I'm here to say this one thing to you. You sitting here this morning, if you've got something in your life that's troubling you and bothering you, I want you to know something. You may not be no other person in the world that knows about it, but the Lord knows about it. And all He wants you to do is to confess Him and confess to Him what you've done and ask Him to forgive Him. I'm here to say this one thing to you this very, very day. I remember a little man that used to come up that holler here in this county down there, lived on a creek. His name was Luther Holt. And he was a little short fella, walked with a cane. And people, of course, called him Shorty, that fit. But you know, a man come in there and he would come up there and set by the stove in the winter. My mother'd have a big fire built up and wait for the mail. And you know, this fella come in the door there and he was a crying, tears are pouring out of his eyes and all of that. And this fella said to Luther, he said, I want to ask you to do something for me. And he said, all right. He said, you remember that time told how many years ago it was. He said, I was down here and you were selling liquor and you was a making liquor. And he said, we was all a drinking. And he said, I stole 17 silver dollars off of you. And you was drunk. And he said, I'm trying to get right with the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm going to have to pay it. As Luther said, "But Lord, I never knew nothing about it." He said, "Yeah, you didn't, but he said, I did and the Lord did."
Amen.
I'm here to say this one thing to you children. We have to confess our faults one to another, children. I'm here to say this to you that, hey, you may take that. You may have to ask somebody to forgive you for something. You may have to go across somewhere and do it. But whatever it takes, children. I told you a while ago, I had to pay back 60 cents that I had stole that many years before. What had happened was, I'd picked up a cake or a pie or something in a country store, and I knowed all about it. My people didn't know nothing about it. Nobody knowed nothing about it. And you talk about what a shock. But you know what? I knowed all about it.
Yeah, I know that about Achan, didn't you?
And the Lord knowed it as well.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to say this one thing to you this morning. When you come to the Lord, you've got to come clean.
Yeah, man.
You've got to come clean. I've been a pastor in churches now since 1968. You know, had a woman one time and her husband to come to the altar, the first church I ever pastored. That woman was backslidden. And you know, she told me, she said, "Preacher, I'm in trouble." I said, "What is it?" She said, "Me and my husband separated for a while and said I had an affair with another man." She said, "Do you want me to confess it to him?" I said, "Yeah, but not here. You go to the place where you can talk to him about it." I'm here to say this to you. I had to make all of that trip, Center, that night.
Yeah.
My wife said, "Have you went crazy?" She said, "You don't have nobody that related to you in Indianapolis." I said, "Oh, yes, I do, too. Oh, yes, I do, too." Went up through the middle of Indiana. I guess it was about as stormy a night as I ever went through. Lord, you could have shut the headlight switch off on that car going up I-65. There was enough lightning flashing till you could have stayed in the road. Had no idea where that woman lived at. But Lord, with the grace and help of Almighty God, I was going to find
her. Yeah.
I'd had that burden and that terrible weight on me long enough. Pulled into a service station there, the man was closing. Asked him, I said, "Man, I'm looking for somebody." He said, "Who is it?" Told him the name. He hunted it up in the phone book. A big map of metropolitan Indianapolis area. He said, "Right here is where you want to go, and right here is where you're at right now." That man took several minutes, sir, to make sure I found it. They tell you something, children. When you get down to business with the Lord, He'll get down to business with you. Do you hear me tonight? Got there, no doorbell, nobody to answer. Finally went and called back. She'd come in. She said, "We've just been out and eat." I told her what I wanted. She said, "I wouldn't let nobody in my house this time of night, as wicked as this city is." "Woman, I owe you a quarter. When you open your door in the morning, you will find a quarter right there where your storm door is." Let me tell you something, children. You can't hide nothing from the Lord. Have you got something in your life that's embarrassing you so bad so you can't stand for nobody to know it? I want to tell you something. The Lord already knows about it.
Yeah.
And the Lord will go with you. I'm here to say this to you tonight or today. That angel, I guess, was a testing Jacob out.
Yeah.
"Turn me loose," he said. "Let me go. It's about daylight." Jacob said, "I'm not going to turn you loose till you bless me."
Amen.
Let me tell you something. How many times have you had to go to the prayer calls at 3 or 4 times longer? How many times have you put in a day or so? Sometimes the Lord wants to kind of punish you a little bit. Sometimes the Lord wants to show you you don't play games with Him.
Yeah.
I'm here to say this one thing to you today, children. I thought a while ago when I was coming from Claybrook County over into Green, over yonder, coming down that hill. I remember that night of being under so much conviction. Lord, have mercy. I looked at my wife. I said, honey, will the Lord take me into eternity in a condition like this? She said, oh, no, no. Said, the Lord will lift the burden if you'll hang in there.
Yeah.
Let me say this one thing to you. You may have something that's worrying you or troubling you to death, but the Lord's got the answer for it.
Amen.
The Lord's got the answer for it. I remember my grandmother talking about when she got saved. Her family was about as rough a family as it was in Russell County. Half of them had been in the penitentiary and the rest of them were about ready to go. She married my grandfather. Never knew what church was or nothing. But she married my grandfather, and his daddy was a circuit riding preacher. Dad said that him and his brother, just under him, he said, she took them and was starting across the back of that old farm. She was going back there in a sassafras thicket to cut some bean sticks. He said he knowed his mother hadn't been acting right for a few days. Said, I was just a child. But said, we got back there and I had the hatchet and said we was cutting them things and stripping the limbs off of them and getting ready to stick some beans. And he said his mama got out on the ground back there.
Yeah.
Said, she said to him, said, Paul, go tell your granddaddy to come back here. And Dad said, I'll never forget seeing that old man come down that hill with that Bible under his arm.
Yeah.
He said it wasn't but a little bit, so they was a pretty good bunch of people back there in the corner of that old field. My grandmother prayed through.
Amen.
She shouted across 2 farms and 2 fields.
Lord!
She had a bag of seed beans in an apron pocket and lost them. And she said, I didn't find them for 3 years.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, children. When God comes into your heart, you won't be ashamed of Him. Do you tell me? You'll confess Him wherever you're at.
Amen.
A lot of folks, if they could get rid of some pride, you know, they'd get a good blessing. You know that?
That's right.
You know, the Bible said pride goeth before destruction.
That's right.
Pride goeth before destruction.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, I didn't care who knowed it.
Amen.
I'm glad to confess it.
Amen.
I'm here to say this to you, children. Prayer is the key to the kingdom.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something tonight, sinner. My wife's first cousin, her and her husband would be over there at the house. And he told El May, he said, El May, I'd give anything if I could be a Christian. Well, she said, Edward, you're the one deciding that. Yes, Edward's daddy had been a Sunday school teacher, Margaret, up here at, over here at Freedom. I guess for 45 years or longer, his mother taught the little ones there. Edward's the youngest one. You know, the hardest people to get saved is the people that's pretty good people to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
You hear
that?
Yeah.
You take one that's an outlaw, they know where they're at. They don't have to wonder about it.
That's right.
But that person that lives a good, clean, close life,
yeah,
they're so close, so it's hard for it to happen.
That's right.
Yeah. Betty's mother died, and she was sort of like I've been by Ella May. Every Sunday, she'd have to go to the cemetery back over Memorial Gardens West on Dixie, stand by that grave. She said she would leave. They just had one boy, Ed, and Jim, and said, she'd say, "Edward, keep Jim here. I'm going to go to Mom's grave." He said on that particular Sunday evening, said she said, "Ed, said take Jim with you." She said, "I'll come back in about 2 hours." And she said, all the years we've been married, said, I've never had that kind of a feeling. She said, something had happened there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she said, finally, he broke down, great big tall man, crying. Said, Betty, said, something happened to me since you've been gone. Said, I'd go to Jim's bedroom every Sunday evening, or my bedroom, and said, this evening I went to Jimmy's bedroom. Said, I tried to pray. He said, I woke up an hour later, and he said, this house was tore all to pieces. He had shouted all over that house. Let me tell you something, children. You might not shout, but your religion and your place in the eyes of God is just as strong as that person that never says nothing. Every person comes across a different way.
Amen.
But you know, I never will forget when I got under old time conviction. You talk about a miserable time. I nearly fit two or three times with an old woman in work. I come home, and Ellison, they said, we're going back to that revival tonight. I said, woman, I can't stand this every night. I'm doing everything in my power to stay away from that place. Well, on Sunday morning, I drive 300 or 400 miles, trip, to keep from going to church. But you know, she said, well, run up yonder to Quick's. That was a little old grocery. And get this list of stuff we need from the grocery. I went and I got that list and I bought us dog food. We didn't even have a dog.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, friend. When the Lord gets a hold of you, you'll be glad to turn it loose.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
It might take seeing some of your family at the point of death. It might take you looking death in the face yourself.
That's right.
But God knows exactly what it takes to get you down.
Yeah.
Don't you think He does?
Amen.
That's right.
You know, I pastored churches all these years. I'm 77. I've got a lot more days behind me than I've got in front of me. I know that. Sometimes my mind don't work as good as it once did. Sometimes I get so anxious to see her, I want to go.
Bless you, brother.
Amen.
Bless you, brother Keith.
Sometimes I get so tired and worry in the way.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, Lord, what a blessing it'd be if you'd just take me.
Bless my Lord.
But you know, I've thought about this difference of times. 4.5 years, I fed that woman every bite she eat with a fork. She couldn't feed herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you think, well, just how much do I love my wife or my husband?
Sorry.
I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever pass up 1 second. If you all can do something together, do it.
Amen.
Do it.
Amen, Ricky.
Don't forget to look at that wife or that husband and say, I love you.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, lots of times I'll meet somebody in the store, like there in Louisville at Walmart, and I'll look at that wife and I'll say, did he tell you how pretty you was this morning?
Amen, brother.
Let me say this one thing, please. Yeah. I asked a Catholic priest one time, I was in a wedding in a Catholic church. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to read from the book where it says, when you marry, you become one flesh. And you know, I said, is that the problem? He said, that's the biggest problem the Catholic Church has got. He said, this young bunch thinks you marry somebody. And then he said, when you get tired of them, you get rid of that and then get you another. That's where the world's right now. I don't know whether half of Jefferson County is married or not. I don't know. I'm telling you, a lot of them are just shacking up together, living together. And you know, they'll talk about my girlfriend or my boyfriend and how many years you've been married. Well, I've been married 5, but we lived together 7 before we married. That's right. And people today think it's all right. I'm here to say this one thing to you, children. Lord have mercy. That woman was my wife. She's still my wife. And I ain't looking for another because it wasn't but one grim. I'm here to say this to you this morning, children. I was on my way to my church in Greene County. Old-fashioned country church. Bunch of old-fashioned people. Mm-hmm. And you know, she got up that morning, she had screamed at the top of her voice all morning long, like she never got her bath, got her clothes on her, finally got her in the van, started down the road, same thing. Got to Hodgensville, pulled over in the parking lot there to give her something to drink and to feed her. Tried to. Nothing. Going through a little place over there, Brother Wade, called Mount Sherman. Mm-hmm. In the edge of Leroux County. I got to thinking, Lord, you gave me a message. You gave me a message to preach. How in this world am I going to preach it this morning? How am I going to teach that Sunday school class?
Yeah.
I can't do it without your help. All at once, it's just like you shut a TV on. Within a mile, she was deathly quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serving a God this morning with love. Do you
hear
me? I'm serving a God this morning that hears me when I pray.
Amen.
I'm serving a God this morning that knows what I need.
Amen, Ricky.
He said he wouldn't allow anything to be put upon us beyond that we could bear. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I'm here to. A man told me to live next door to me. He said, ain't it awful this poor pastor up here? This woman is just pushing herself on him. And he's having the awfulest time. And that, I said, the devil don't do a thing to you that you don't allow him to do.
Right.
The devil ain't got one bit of power more than you let him have.
Right.
And I told him, I said, that woman, that man could call 2 deacons into the office with it and lay the law down to that woman. I said, you know what's going on? I said, the preacher's enjoying the temptations. I'm here to say this one thing to you this morning, sinner. It's in your hands. It's in your hands. The Lord will let you sit right there in your seat till you drift into the cold arms of death. Till it's time to call for the funeral director, your Columbia. He'll let you sit right there if that's what you choose. Now, the Lord's done his part. He's convicted you. He's told you that you're lost. He's told you that you need to repent. He's told you that it's up to you. But the choice is yours. Joshua told the children of Israel, by the way.
Amen.
He said, you can serve the gods of the Amorites and all of them, or you can serve the gods in the land of Egypt. But he said, but it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
That's right. And made that decision.
The power of choice. Amen. You know why you're here this morning? Because you chose to be. You chose to be.
That's right.
The choice was in your hand.
Choose you this day.
And the fact that you come here shows that you're concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord ain't going to do a thing more for you than he's done to this point. You know,
I don't know. I know he's a Burton. But over here on this road, I went with Brother Melvin. And that little fella.
Crippled guy. Yeah.
I've talked to him, and the last time I talked to him, he just bawled and cried.
Yeah.
Tears poured out of his eyes. I told him, I said, it's not the Lord's fault. I said, he's a maker of the way for you to get straightened
out.
But it's up to you.
Yeah.
It's up to you. You know, a lot of people don't want to turn the things of the world loose.
That's right.
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
Lord, have mercy. I'm here to say this one thing to you. I don't have a thing here. I've got an old car out here. And I was trying to trade a car one time. And I put in about two or three trips down there. And finally, I said, I want to talk to the fellow that owns this. Of course, he's a multimillionaire, all that there. He had a lot of credit once. But anyway, got back there, and this guy said to me, he says, that car you've got, said, it's not too good, is it? I said, fella, if it's a new one, I wouldn't be in here to see you. If it's a good one, I wouldn't want to trade with you. I wouldn't tell you a lie. I told him, I said, I wouldn't tell you a lie for every car you've got on this whole place here. And then I looked at him, had a hair down by about here, you know. I said, if you ever told a lie to sell a car, and that fella got so nervous, but he dropped his pen on the floor, like it fell out of his chair, turned around and said to that salesman, he said, whatever this fella offers us, take it. Get him out of here. I never could ever trade with them anymore. They wouldn't fool with me. I'm here to say, you know, people just absolutely don't want the truth. Did you know that?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? It'll set you free. I'm here to say this to you. When I was a kid, I told the truth, but I paid a high price for it sometimes. Sometimes we'll pay a high price for the Lord. But I want to say this to you this morning. Somebody here today needs to come to this altar right here.
Yeah.
Somebody here needs to come to this altar and pray.
Yeah.
And you know, the Lord is wanting to help you. The Lord's wanting to save you.
That's right.
The Lord's wanting to make you the happiest person that's ever been in this building.
That's right. Yeah.
But He can't do a thing until you make the move.
Amen.
I'm here to say this to you. You don't have no promise of anything beyond this service. I'm here to say this to you. When the Lord makes the invitation with you and sends a conviction power, the Lord is not obligated actually to ever ask you anymore. It's up to you. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely.
Amen.
Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. I'm here to say this to you. I'm so glad that I did. I woke up this morning and from about the waist up, I'm as strong, as good a shape as I was, but from the waist down, arthritis has gotten the best of me. You know, I woke up and I thought, Lord, I don't know whether I can make that trip or not.
Bless.
But I talked to Brother Melvin here the other day, and I thought, well, up our way, a lot of the folks on, like, Mother's Day or Father's Day, they hesitate to go to church. They want to do something else, you know, and bothers them. But I'm here to say this one thing to you. I remember when I was a kid. Now, most of you, you're too young to remember this, but I remember an old singer by the name of Roy Acuff used to sing a song called Mother's Not Dead, She's Only Sleeping.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm here to say this to you. One of these days, we're all going to go that direction.
Amen.
You know, I will tell you something. I looked at the obituary in my Louisville paper this morning. You know, I saw a woman in there, Brother Adam, that was 104 years old.
Mm.
I'm 77. I remember when you sell them here to somebody as 80 years old.
Right.
Very sad. God is blessing people with so much.
Yes.
I preach long enough. I just wonder, before I turn back over to Brother Wade, would you be willing to come and get on this altar and pray? I can't save you. I can pray for you, but I couldn't save you.
Amen.
I'll tell you what will save you is when you say it with your own tongue, your
Amen.
Own mouth, and you confess to the Lord. Maybe all you've got to do is just say, Lord, forgive me. Maybe that's all it would be. I don't know. But let me say this one time to you. It's in your hands.
Yeah.
What do you desire to do about it? I guess it was the last night of a weekend revival here. I don't know how many were saved, but Lord have mercy. I thought about this, and I want you to think about this, sinner. You've been on and the mercies of the Lord ever since that revival.
That's right.
The Lord has extended mercy to you. You know, if the Lord had given me justice instead of mercy, I'd be in a bad shape
That's
today.
Right.
Bad shape. But the Lord's been a merciful God.
Yes, sir.
I just wonder, would you make that move? Would you make that move today? By the way, take over.
Amen. I'll get you back for you then, brother. Appreciate Brother Keith. Appreciate him making the drive. And I certainly wouldn't try to add to this message there, but the Bible said in James chapter 5, verse 19, confess your faults one to another. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, forgiving one another. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. Maybe this morning you're here, maybe you're not lost. Maybe you just sinned against your marriage. Maybe you sinned against your wife. Maybe you're not treated your wife like God said. Maybe you haven't realized just what a blessing. It's Mother's Day. Maybe you haven't realized what a blessing God gave you, woman, put up you, still praise you, pray for you. Maybe you just need to realize this morning, opportunity to make that right. He's right on the money. Have you made things right between you and the Lord? If not, why not? If not now, when? But I'm like him. I went all over Glasgow apologizing to people. I couldn't get there quick enough. You make things right, boy, it's good. It's a good feeling. You go home and sleep good. You ain't got nothing hanging over. You ain't got nothing to worry about.
Amen.
Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe there's something the Lord brought out in this message. Maybe there's something that you need to do. I agree with Brother Keith.
Yes.
Maybe you need to come. I'll tell you one thing. You can certainly come. I'll tell you another thing. It'd be in your best interest to come. And you might not, but you ought to. Think about what this man said. If you got a fault this morning, if you done something this morning, need to make right, don't need to leave with that. Need to leave it here is what you need to do.
Right.
Confess your faults one to another. Forgive one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You measure up to that? Pretty tough, ain't it? Well, that's not a suggestion. I promise you, there'll be husbands standing before God on how they treated their wives. They'll stand before God and God say, I gave you a wife, love you, pray for you, praise you. Nobody else could stand you. But she stood right there by your side. Did you hear Keith talk about how he took care of his wife? It's one flesh. Genesis chapter 2. There'll be one flesh, God said. This cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. And there'll be one flesh. Have you done that? He fulfilled his vow. He took care of his wife, and it wasn't easy. He stayed by her side. And nobody else would. She would have done the same thing to you, wouldn't she, brother?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Brother.
That's
brother,
what the beauty of marriage is.
Brother Eddie, I'm sure you all remember about 15 or 20 years ago, or a little longer, a fellow wrote a song called Sorry I Never Knew You.
Yeah, yeah.
And Holy Lister and Statesman, I've got that up there with them. This fella thought all it was necessary was just to go down and join the church and be baptized.
Right.
And he had a dream about us, what the song
right.
was about. Go ahead.
Me and Carolyn, we sung that song here. That dream caused that guy to realize the reality of eternity.
He thought
While I'm speaking, let's all stand. We give an invitation right now. You think about that. Is Jesus going to say, sorry, I never knew you? Or is he going to say, hear thou, come on, Brother Melvin, hear thou unto the joys of the Lord. This invitation, I agree, is small church. I'm like Brother Sullivan, we're just small preachers. We're not no big name, no lights, no trumpets to announce our entrance. I'll tell you one thing, he just delivered the word of God, and so did I. Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus? He didn't say, what shall we do with this Jesus? He said, what shall I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? You're going to have something to do with him. He's either going to be your Savior, he's going to be your judge, but you're not going to get out of not having nothing to do with Jesus. He wants to be your Savior, but if he don't, he'll be your judge, I promise you that.
51, page 51.
Brother Melvin gives us an invitation on him. You ought to think about what's been said. Here comes Brother William, boy, a model example of a believer right here. Just comes right up here without any hesitation. I appreciate Brother William. Maybe somebody else needs to come this morning. Well, we thank you, Father. Brother William, I thank you, Father, Lord, because, Lord, I know he's saved. I know he loves you. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the great example. Lord, he says, of a believer and where it be. I pray, bless Brother William. I pray, Father, Lord, he'd have company up here. I pray others, Lord, would go on to him. To the others, Lord, wish they would come on up. I pray this whole front of this church be filled with people to be honest before God and say, Lord, I'm not perfect. Lord, I want to be. I want to set the standard as high as I can. I want help. And I pray, Lord, you'll help me. Deliver me from evil temptation. Forgive me the times I failed you. Come bless your expectations of me and help me to walk before you in a beauty of holiness. Help us, Lord, today. Bless you. Bless you, Brother Anthony. Boy, I tell you what, this is what it's all about. Just come on up. Come on up, say, Lord, thank you for having mercy on me, saving me, forgiving me. Lord, I tell you right now, what a blessing, Lord, to see your children in obedience. Lord, dear Father, giving a sacrifice through their lips, thanking you and praising you. Bless Brother Anthony. Bless Brother William. I tell you right now, buddy, they shouldn't have been alone. Should have been a great member for you this morning. I tell you one thing, God's real, His Word's real. Judgment of God's real. He's going to lay the bullet to the line. There ain't going to be no room. No jail. He's going to lay the bullet to the line. People that build things, they get a bullet line out. Then help them to make it straight. God said, we're going to lay the bullet to the line. It's going to be straight. Come, Brother Slate. Those preachers, he said, you preach a precept upon precept, line upon line, hear a little letter. That's kind of what preaching means. Get you a little letter. God puts it all together, make something out of it. Now think about what's been said this morning. Eternity at stake right here. He said, gospel said, Jesus, I can't heal, sir. He said, we done made our decision. As we made my house, he said, we're going to serve the Lord. Moses said, I said before you, life and death, choose life. A lot of choices. What are you going to do with this Jesus? I'll tell you right now, he's available. I'll tell you right now, buddy, he's ready to meet you right here, make things right. He said, you have not come, you ask not. Jesus said, you will not come to me, but you may have life. John 5:40. You're going to do that. You're going to sit there like you've done every Sunday. You're going to say, I've sat long enough. I'm going. Get somebody by the hand, raise your hand, whatever. Say, go with me. I need to get to Jesus. I need somebody to pray with me. I need to get something done. I need to get it done today. I don't know how the Word of God came to you. I know how it came to me. Bless me because I'm in the family of God. Bless me because I am the Son of God. I don't know how it went with you. Good message. Good spirit. God's got his arms open wide. Yeah, he does. Hey, mate. I pastored yesterday. Young preacher got up there and preached. Boy, he done a good job. My pastor told him, he said, you're young preacher, young man. He said, you'll be like me. You'll be discouraged. You'll see people that just won't move. They just won't listen. They just won't obey. And he said, you still got to preach to them. That's kind of what God told Jeremiah. He said, they won't. They won't turn. They won't repent. But you go ahead and preach to them. Weeping. Probably Jeremiah. Didn't have one single convert, but boy, he cried a river of tears. God told him, you just keep going, boy. Just keep going. Boy, I appreciate the service today. I appreciate the spirit that's been here today. Tremendous service. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart. What you got, Sister Sophie?
Well, okay. You know, like I am, you can tell your siblings and your children what to do. You're older than they are.
Bless you.
Sometimes it works and sometimes
bless
it
your
doesn't.
Heart.
And then when you forget things, somebody's name or something, you say, that's because I'm getting old.
Bless you, sister.
And then when it comes to time to go, Lord, I'm on the way home.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
I'll soon be there.
Bless your heart.
Ways,
amen. Bless you, Sister Sophie. Amen. The Bible says wisdom crieth out in the streets. Old man regards. I saw a lot of wisdom go to the grave. Once it goes, it can't be recovered. Wish I'd spend more time sitting at the feet of the white hair of my grandmother and got more wisdom from her. I got a little. I finally had enough sense one day to go down there and I got a little wisdom from her. But I wished I'd got more. This is Mother's Day.
Martin,
and
we've, a little stuff from the church.
We've got some things here for the mothers. And it is a blessing to be a mother, to be called a mother. And
yeah, let's pick you up. Come up for the mother. Yeah. Everybody's a mother. Come up here and pick you up one of these different kinds.
You know, and so forth. To some people here, in the eyes of others, you're their mother. My daughter, this morning, I talked to her on the way up here. And I told her, I said, my mother raised you, became a mother to you. And you might be here this morning saying, I'm not a mother. I bet you in eyes a little Levi over here, I bet you are. I bet you in eyes a little Peyton, a little Dawson. You come on. Motherhood is something that men cannot approach. Motherhood is something that God has special in mind. I heard a statement one time said they had a face nobody but a mother could love. And that kind of describes motherhood quite a bit. Man, they bring this blob over there and plop it down in their bosom and they just love it. They weep over it, kiss it, hold it. Thank you, Charity. Thank you, Charity. You just done what I was hoping I could get done this morning. Thank you. She just showed what I was trying to say right here. To me, you're a mother. My mother. Amen. Thank you, Charity. Charity, I'll tell you one thing about Charity, brother. She champions the situations like what I'm talking about here this morning. She went back there and got Molly by the hands and come on, you're going.
But her grandmother, I said,
why
can't I be your mother?
All right. All right.
Yes, Melissa's her mother.
Yeah, that's all right. She got you by the hand, which is what I was wanting. And I appreciate Charity. She's instrumental about that. I'll tell you one thing, but I've seen her get a lot of people by the hand. Seeing her get a lot of people by the hand. Amen. All right, anybody got a word on your heart? I hope if you're here this morning that you got something from the Lord. God's on one I know to set a table like we're sitting here this morning, thoroughly furnished.
This better fried chicken.
Here it is, brother Melvin. I had fried chicken yesterday.
I'll tell you what, if these people get saved, I don't know what we're talking about. I'll tell you what, it feels like heaven to me when that spirit's been here like it is today.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it can't work, it can't explain it, but I wouldn't take nothing in the world, or the whole world whole preaching out.
That's right.
And it's so precious to be a Christian. And you know, the devil tried to drag me around the road bushes, you know, so to speak, with little old things, you know, and I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and take care of this. I don't want to worry about doing it. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to get the staff off my back.
Yeah.
You get that, you get your conscience cleared up completely, you can have some good times.
Oh, boy.
But I'll tell you what, he can't whip you if he'll get on the thing, took care of his father. You know, the devil tried to put so many things in his mind. Maybe the Lord wants, you know, to, if we owe anything, we need to pay it. We know we. That's the Lord for going to see that or whatever. It's a pleasure to be a Christian. It's wonderful. I tell you, ain't nothing like it in the world. I wouldn't take nothing but salvation.
Amen.
To me, it's been precious to me for 60. Well, since 65, Brother Keith got saved. He may be about 2 months older than I am. I got saved 18th of June 1965, and I believe he got saved in April. He's hit me.
Yeah. I'm watching Charity go around and hug and hug these ladies in the church. I'm just getting blessed just watching.
Oh, anointing preaching, shoulder feeding yourself.
That's where it ought to be, right there.
That's right.
Just going around.
Amen.
She's hugging the women in this church.
And different times.
Tell you what, buddy. Brother Melvin, he's testifying. I wasn't going to interrupt him testifying, but I appreciate that sight right there, the little children going around hugging the necks. You know, I told my wife this morning, I said, I know there's little children up there at Scottsville that need you. And I said, I want you to know there's little children up there in Columbia that need you too.
Yeah.
There may be more in Scottsville, but they don't need you as much as the ones in Columbia. They want my wife to be here this morning. And I'll continue to want that until the Lord grants that. Appreciate y'all praying with me and for me with that regard. And like Keith said, two will be one. And I need her. I told her that. There is a real devil down here. And the Bible said a man's foes will be they of his own. Anybody read the Bible enough to know what the next word is? Household. My only weak spot. My only place I'm vulnerable. Devil has one advantage right there.
I'd like to say that I love the Lord this morning. And I thank God for the mothers. My mother is on the other side.
Bless you, Mom. Bless you.
And I can't wait to get there.
Amen.
But thanks to Jesus, He shed that blood for me that I can't
go. Woo!
I love you this morning. Does the world get rock and rough?
Bless you, Mom.
But with God's help, I'll make it.
Amen.
He's led me through a lot of things.
Yeah.
He's blessed me so. I could stand here and say, talk all day and never tell you what He's done for me.
Bless you, Mom.
Amen.
The day that He plied the blood with molten more
than our life. Amen.
In my life started then.
Amen.
I praise you this morning that I love you. The
Amen.
Ones that don't know you don't want to miss out.
That's true.
Because He is coming back. And I don't care what you get here on this earth.
Woo!
It won't go with you.
That's right.
All in the blood.
Yes, amen.
All in the blood. I love you today.
Amen. Through that blood, a new and living way was made that we can go into the Holy Holies and make our petition known. I can go to God because of that blood she mentioned. Amen.
I'd like to thank all these women here.
Bless you. Bless you, Charity.
You're good to me. And you've always been there for me, Lord. I could care my parents right now, is all I say. And Molly, she was always used to be my honey. She taught me a lot.
Bless you. We don't get no rich in this right here.
That's right.
Bless you, Lord. Amen.
They're always my mothers and grandmothers.
Amen.
When people look at me, I look at me. Look who lives in my heart.
Amen.
I believe this young lady looks up to you, Molly. It's good that we can have people we can look up to. And I know Charity. She's been devastated by death of her grandmother. I remember visiting her grandmother. One time, Glenna, she slipped on and Charity just heard her lap, kissed her and said, "Don't leave me, Grandma." And she came back and she stayed quite a while longer. You know, God gracious that and granted Glenna several more days. What a blessing that was. But little Charity jumped up there and leaped to the occasion, just like she did this morning.
We still have one, though, because Grandma gave us to Margaret.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
This was a long time. Gospel sermons, close living kind, you know.
Yeah.
If a man on blood blessed, he need to live close. But I tell you what, can't live too close.
Amen.
But we need to live close to King.
Amen. I was doing something here this morning. I ain't quite got it all figured out. I'm just waiting on the Lord here. I can tell you right now, I got enough God in me to tell God doing something here this morning.
Amen.
Trying to be careful here.
Brother Eddie, I wish I'd listened to my mom more. She was a real good person. She sure showed me a lot of things in my life. Sure miss her.
Bless
I
should have
listened to her more at her age.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Joseph talked about his brothers. He said, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it to me for good. A lot of things don't make no sense till they run their course. And Anthony just said, he said he wished he'd listened more. He said he'd been better off. And that's the way life is. We should listen more. God bless you, Brother Anthony. All right. Boy, sweet spirit here this morning. I know the clock back there, it's ticking, but I'm taking a little time here. You know, you go to the doctor, have surgery, you tell him he's got 5 minutes, you tell him to take as long as he needs, and I'm taking a little time here. I'm not as seasoned as Brother Keith is, but I'll tell you one thing, I'm serious about what I do. I do feel the Spirit of God here this morning. I feel it ministering in our midst. And if God does something, you can't add to it, you can't take away from it. I'm just trying to be careful here. Are we done? Is there somebody this morning needs to do something? And I'm saying this just as honest as I know how. I don't know really what all God's doing. I'm just telling He's working there. So there's somebody here this morning, you need to do something before we leave, or are we done? You let me know.
Brother Eddie, the Bible said, beloved, believe not every spirit.
Right.
He said, drown.
That's right.
People get spirits mixed up sometimes.
True.
I worked with the church one time, but Lord have mercy, I dreaded it when we have a death in the church.
Yeah.
We put up with that death spirit every service.
Yeah.
Brother Eddie, there's a difference in it.
Yeah.
And you take that spirit that convicts a lost person to get saved, it's different to one, of course, there's been a death in a family or something.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the Spirit of the Lord will tell you where you're standing at.
That's right.
And
that's right.
He'll show you.
That's right.
Now, if I never come back this way again, children, we never know. Remember this one thing. Between now and next Sunday, read the book of James.
Amen. Yeah.
Do it slowly.
Yeah.
James will tell you where you're standing at.
That's true.
And if you can say, I'm living up, Brother Eddie, to every verse in the book of James, you're mighty close to heaven. I'm telling you that. And James was actually, if I understand it right, God forbid if I be wrong, but I believe James was a half-brother to Jesus.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's right.
And if you'll read it, I can't recall just where it is, but I've read it many times where the Bible tells us how many boys that Mary and Joseph had after
Jesus.
Yeah,
true. Yeah.
And then it says they're sisters, but right. It don't say how many of them. But,
that's true. They're mentioned in John chapter 6.
Most Bible historians says that James was a slow believer. He didn't take what Jesus' preaching was right away. But
that's
after
mentioned
the
John
crucifixion,
chapter 6 too, yeah.
He really picked it up from there on, you know.
Yeah.
And I've thought many times about where over there that he said, resist the devil and he'll leave flee from you.
Yeah.
Draw nigh to
submit
God,
to God
draw nigh to you.
Yeah.
I preached him out.
Amen. He's right about the book of James. This pure religion undefiled before God is this, visit the father, listen to the mother, the widows and their afflictions. And he's right. There's a lot of things there in the book of James that we ought to do. We ought to be doers, not hearers only, he said. Okay, if we're done this morning, I don't want to wear you out. I'll tell you right now, this kind of service I like to linger in. I know people need to leave. I know it's Mother's Day. I know you got things to do. Appreciate James coming today with his wife, Anita.
Yeah.
And a real blessing. I got blessed just walking and walk in. Just watching him walk in, I got blessed. I kind of envy there a little bit. I wish my wife was here today, James. You really gave me a blessing. Appreciate you being with me today. Appreciate you coming with your family today. And that's where it ought to be. Let's all stand, please. And Brother Melvin, would you please dismiss us for the prayer? And Brother Keith, you go back to the door there, brother. And
thank you, Lord, for the message of Mr. Barrier. The Spirit being